What's up, everybody? Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish. Welcome to 15 seconds of Tom and I standing there staring at the screen. Intro video. It has been such a long time, but we're back here on Shooting the Sports-ish, Tom and I. It has been a long time since we've been on the bike. We tried to bring back Smart to death. Wrestling's tough to talk about. There's a lot going on every week. But NFL is easy to talk about, and it's time for the 2021-2022 season, starring the fans this season, and I'm pretty excited about it, Fenton.
You know, I look at this season, and I think I was a little more excited, not to be negative, a little more excited a month ago, and then when certain things and areas begin to seem like they may not be full by the fall, there's a little bit of a concern, but obviously going into it, it's going to be very exciting. I also think, looking at some of these numbers we talked about before with betting lines.
Yeah.
I think for whatever reason, the fans coming back, it intrigues me more on certain players than it did without fans, if that makes any sense, or with limited fans per se.
No, I think it makes complete sense. You have to start thinking about now. You know, last season we talked about how many people are going to actually have an impact. Like, what's the impact going to be of there being no fans, right?
Right.
And I don't think we largely saw much impact at all. Fans are going to be back, though. And in some places, fans are going to be back regardless of what the situation with the pandemic is. No reason to talk about that. That was last season. Yes, the reality is that we're in a pandemic. No, there's no reason for Tom and I to talk about it. We've done our part. It is what it is at this point. Got to move on. But it is going to be interesting to talk about, like, how some of these guys, like, is Josh Allen going to play this well as he did last year with fans booing him because people just don't like Josh Allen? Like, what's going to happen?
Well, there's a lot of players, too, that get very rattled by those fan bases, or there's a lot of cities that had a really rabid fan base where they acted as a proponent for the really home field advantage. So not having that again now, it'll affect some players.
Right. Speaking of players, we're going to talk. There you go. Let's talk about three news topics. And then the majority of this show, this is kind of what we're going to do this episode, guys. We're going to talk about the three big major news stories that broke since the end of the NFL season. Okay. And then, you know, it's kind of too early to really get into too much with conference previews, things like that. So what we're going to do instead is talk about some future lines. We can talk about some season awards. Even if you're not a bettor, this episode will be interesting to you because we're going to talk about how we think some of these guys that are favored to do well in certain bettable categories are how we think they're going to do, who we like to have a good season. And if you're a bettor, we'll talk about it. We are going to keep our picks this season. We're going to keep track of that. That way we can keep ourselves honest. You know, we can go ahead and throw those out there. It's really early now, so I don't think we'll start official record of our picks now. The episode right before the season, though, we'll go ahead and start making picks. We'll make our five bets that we like on futures before the season. And then as we get into the NFL season, we'll start betting. I'm not betting preseason games, just to let you guys know. I will start betting as soon as the first game kicks.
About that? Like, are you fully committed that you will not touch anything on a preseason game?
On the record or off the record?
Right now.
On the record, on this podcast, I am not betting preseason game. Off the record, when you and I are on a personal phone call, I'm an idiot. I will lose probably $100 betting the preseason because I'm an idiot.
So I took Josh Allen. How many quarters do you think he's going to play in week three?
And it's going to be like one, maybe like three drives.
Right.
Anyway, let's talk about the big season, the big episodes, big topics. Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford were traded for each other. Essentially is how I'm going to put that because it's been too long since that trade happened. We've never talked about that. But that is pretty massive. I like where both players are going, actually.
Look, there was a lot more that came back, and, you know, obviously with, you know, the situation on both sides, the Lions want to give an opportunity for Matthew to go somewhere else, obviously, different process, different system. And I think now with the system in Detroit, it really works well for an opportunity for a rebuild, but also that regrowth of a quarterback. that second chance opportunity really, you know, show what he has. If not, Detroit really doesn't lose anything in the trade either.
Right. The Lions actually got a third round draft pick, and then they got the Rams first pick in 22 and 23.
Yeah.
And they got Jared Goff. I mean, they got the got a quarterback that went to the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford never has been to a Super Bowl.
No.
Matthew Stafford's a significantly better quarterback, but he's never been to a
Super
Bowl.
Never won a playoff game.
Oh, shit. He sure hasn't, because he lost to the Cowboys. And has he never won a playoff game, really?
Dude, the Lions haven't won a playoff game since before you're born.
Wow. That's something. Matthew Stafford, I think, is going to have a great year. I love where he's at. Yes, they did just lose Cam Akers. The Rams did. But, you know, he has weapons, which are probably not much different than what he had before. But he has a defense. And so we're not going to have Matthew Stafford necessarily gunsling, which we know he can do. You know he can do better than I do because you've seen it for 10 years or whatever it's been.
Right.
I think he's going to do great with the Rams. And I don't think the Lions are going to be that good, but we talked about this the other day. The Lions will be better than they should be. They lost a franchise quarterback in Matthew Stafford, got back first round picks, and got a quarterback that's starting caliber sometimes. And that's not a bad pickup.
No, they did fine with that. They did more than fine, okay? They got a lot of picks in the deal. They helped build their future. They weren't winning anything in the next 3 years. But the biggest pickup the entire offseason has been the fact that there's no Matt Patricia here. So that's a guaranteed two more win seasons. So when you're looking at betting lines, I need you to start looking at that factor too. Because he was a negative two.
I am going to miss... I'm going to miss you... doing the pencil thing.
I'll find a new one. Mr. Campbell's very animated.
There you go. It'll be interesting. Let's talk about other topics here real quick, because there's not too much we can do, but we can talk about Deshaun Watson showed up to training camp today.
Yes, he did.
I guess all the massage parlors were booked up, so he couldn't go there. Fucking creep. I am a Texans fan. I love Deshaun Watson until we found out that he is allegedly a creep. Do I believe it? Of course I believe it. Of course I believe that a fucking celebrity with millions of dollars is possibly a creep and has been a star his whole life. He's probably fucked up in the head. I mean, I believe it. I understand. I get it. I hope it's not true, and I hope all this, these things I'm saying, I have to eat these words, but we're probably both in agreement that it's probably true.
So last Lions playoff win was in 1992, by the way.
I was three. Yeah, right. I basically wasn't born. So Deshaun shows up to training camp today, still wants to be traded. Rumor is the Texans want like 3 to 5 first round picks and 2 starting caliber players for Deshaun. It's like, this is what kills me. Do they understand? Do the Texans understand that Bill O'Brien is not going to be making the trade? So it's going to be hard to get that. The other thing is that too much for Deshaun Watson pre-allegations? No. No, it probably isn't enough. Post allegations, no, the Texans don't know if he's going to play a game for them. Dude, whether he leaves or not, they have no idea.
Pre-allegation on this, right? Watson was a 3 first and a player type guy in a trade, right? As long as he had contractual commitment from him. Post everything, I'm going to be frank with you. If that contract was long term, like 8 years, I think Houston might have a hard time trading it right now.
It is a long-term deal. He just signed an extension with a no-trade clause.
Then I don't see on any plan in life how they think they're going to get that much value with an ongoing... There's no way.
A 4-year contract extension. So he is signed through 2022.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. No, more than that. He's signed for... He's there... Whoever gets him, you're there for a long time.
Okay.
He's there for a long, long time. So he was there through 2021, 2022. They signed a 4-year extension. So that puts him at 2025, 2026. Yep. So he's there for a long ass time. So now you can look at this two ways from a business standpoint. Let's say these allegations. Remember, Ben Roethlisberger had his allegations and he is still playing. Yep. What's up, Connor? Thanks for joining us, brother. Make sure you guys check out the channel, by the way. Subscribe, all that good stuff. Connor does MLS watch-alongs. And we will be doing more content. Site's back going. So if you've been subbing, you've been enjoying our content. We are back full force starting today. Anyway, Deshaun, like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger still played. He'll be a Hall of Famer, even though he's a dirtbag. So Deshaun has potential to play. But 22 women. How does he have a career much longer?
Here's the struggle, okay? The struggle with his facts and his issues is going to be a time thing. If he somehow gets suspended until allegations are all cleared, it's going to cost him years off his career.
Right.
I just don't know how that type of suspension is going to work right now again. I also don't think, I don't know. Look, if I'm looking at it from a standpoint of what do I actually think, okay?
Yeah.
If you take on a 5-year deal and you get him to play for 3 of those years, per se,
yeah,
are you just long-term planning at that point?
I think if you're making this trade, you're long-term planning. And he has to be going to somebody that thinks that they are just a quarterback away. So that's the other thing, too. So you basically,
you'd have to be a quarterback away like 2 years from now, though. I don't think he's playing.
You could be a quarterback away now. You don't want to be a quarterback away 2 years from now because you're not going to have draft picks for the next few years. The Texans aren't going to take draft picks in 2024 through 2029. They're going to want your 2022 pick, your 2023 pick, your 2024, 2025. They're going to want a first round pick for the next 5 years to recover from what they've lost because they lost Hopkins. They have David Johnson, which is a massive background. They have marking. They have all these hodgepodge pieces that don't work. So they're going to want this massive thing and 2 starters. You're basically saying, can I trade Deshaun Watson for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams?
I don't feel that right now.
I meant Aaron Rodgers.
If I was running a team right now, because again, I think the situation is going to be out for a while, whatever. If you were to trade him, I don't think I'd give up more than 2 first at this point.
If you don't think he's going to play. No, not if you don't think he's
going
to play.
No, I don't think he's going to play for a little while. No, I don't.
And what's up to Conrad here joining us as Bills Mafia. I do like the Bills. I will cheer for the Bills this year and the Washington football team because fuck the Texans. The Deshaun State, we'll see how it goes. He showed up to training camp today to avoid a $50,000 fee because every day he missed. Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers apparently was rumored to retire. Now he's rumored to play for the Packers because I guess he's going to play for a year and then basically something in his favor is going to happen where he's going to get to pick where he's traded next year. Is that right? Reading that right?
They restructured his deal so at the end of next season, he can opt into a free agency.
Okay.
So he's going to pick where he goes.
Here's what I don't understand. How did the Packers fuck this up so bad?
Dude.
Like, they drafted Jordan Love, who is not a starting quarterback from all reports. He doesn't look like a starting NFL quarterback. And then they drafted decent pieces. It's crazy to me that Aaron Rodgers now wants out when he has some of the best offensive players he's played with. Like, he has 2 running backs that are great there. You have Devontae Adams, who's arguably and probably the best receiver in the league. I couldn't name any of their other weapons, but you have Devontae Adams. I just don't understand how things have gone so south.
I look at it this way too. Like, let's look back even 3 years ago. Okay.
Sure.
It was like, you did everything right. You drafted him. You brought him up after Favre. Like, it was like the organizational person, you know,
couldn't have done anything better.
No, and then you continue to get into spats with different personnel and different coaching staffs and whatnot, right? And my thought process there is, okay, who's the coach in charge and how are we fixing the relationships between these people? We can't have this back and forth anymore.
Right. And he, you know, there's some decent pieces here. He has Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, who was great last year. Devin Funchess, meh. Who else is on here? MVS Marquez, Valdez-Scantling is there as well. I thought I saw Tavon Austin somewhere, but I think he's a returner for them. You know, there's decent pieces. Aaron Jones, at running back who's awesome.
They play in the NFC North. They'll be fine.
They will be fine. And so it's just interesting how they've gone so south. The Packers will play. He's going to be pissed off. He's going to be in the MVP running because he's Aaron Rodgers and he always is. But where do you think he's going to go when he leaves? Where do you think? I think he's going to California.
See, that was my first inkling. It really was. Like, okay, at the end of next season, the Rams have Stafford. It's not going to be them, right? So I'm like, okay, what San Francisco's situation? How committed are they in the quarterback they drafted?
Right.
Or are they just going to roll the dice and say, hey, if I can get Aaron for 2 years, I'm just doing it.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know what cap situation from them would be either.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it goes. That's for sure.
The Raiders are always a fun team to think about because I can never, ever figure out what they're doing. So
yeah, but Derek Carr isn't bad. It's like you can't.
No, he's not.
But again, they want to win.
Yeah,
they're in Vegas. They got to pay that stadium. They pay for that stadium at some point. So anyway, ooh, I burped there a little bit in the mic. Sorry, guys. That wasn't great at all. Before we get into talking about futures here, I do want to let you guys know we are affiliated with BetUS, which is a domestic book here in the United States. You should be able to bet no matter what state you're in. I am in Texas. I can use that book. So that is something to consider if you're considering betting the NFL season. The majority of people do bet NFL if you are a bettor. NBA season was tough. So if you're wanting to bet this season, we'll have plenty of content here for you guys to help you out, hopefully help you out, or at least I'll be ice cold probably, and then you can just, not tail me, but tail the opposite of what I pick, and maybe you'll win some money that way. Who knows? But check it out. The link will be in the episode. If you're listening on audio, it'll be below. If you're listening, watching on YouTube, it's down below in the comments as well. Use that. You get a deposit bonus of 25%, I think is what it is. So not bad. And Cam is here. What's up, Cam Manning? He'll be live this week. They'll be uploading the college football preview show. So that'd be awesome. Looking forward to that. Let's talk about some of these player futures. So we're going to talk about betting shifting here now, guys, just letting you know. My favorite bet that I have seen on here is the power of Tom Brady. There's a Tom Brady special. Will Tom Brady break the all-time passing yards record against New England in the 2021-2022 season? No, minus 200. Yes, plus 150.
Wow.
I love that bet.
So
I'm not going to bet it because plus 150 is garbage for a future, but
it's such a funny bet. And
it's
like,
you bet.
What week is that game?
I don't even know. Let me see.
I'm assuming it's a prime time game, right?
I mean, I would imagine. Yeah, it's 7:20 October the 3rd. I bet that Sunday night football. That is Sunday night football. Oh, he's going to break that sucker. What's the record?
I don't know. I don't know.
Patriots record. It is hard to find. Oh, here it is. Will Tom Brady break? Oh, will he break it while he's there?
Yes.
He has to get to 1,200 yards by then. Oh, he'll have already broken it, I think. I think he'll play. Oh, that is a good bet. That'll be game four, game five.
Do I have odds yet of how many passing yards Brady will have in that game?
No, God, no, of course you don't yet.
I just wanted to hit the over early and often. Thank you.
Well, anyway, that's an interesting bet. I think that's actually not a bad bet. Minus 200 means they think he'll do it. Plus 150, that's not too bad if you like it. That's an early future. Let's talk about the other props that make sense. So I'm going to give you the top 10 guys favored to have the most passing yards this season. Guess who's number one?
Patrick Mahomes?
How did you know?
It's shocking.
At plus 350, so long odds. Let me tell you, there's some value in that one. There's no way I'm taking that at plus 350. Like, yeah, he's probably going to. Dak Prescott at plus 600, Tom Brady plus 650, Josh Allen plus 850, Matt Stafford is plus 1200. Love that. Plus 1400 for Matt Ryan, plus 1400 for Aaron Rodgers. Justin Herbert up there, plus 1,400. Russell Wilson, plus 2,000. Joey Burrow, plus 2,500.
Joey.
I actually really like Joe Burrow at plus 2,500. Do I think he'll get there? Not really. But the Bengals aren't going to be good. They're going to trail a lot. The AFC North is awesome. Sure. He's going to have to throw the football. He has potential to do that. Joe Burrow threw the ball all over the yard before he got injured last year.
Yeah.
So Derrick, that's a damn good value.
Derrick Henry, MVP, plus 5,000.
Whoa. Stay on track here. Most passing yards.
Sorry, sir.
Stay on track here. Is there any? Is there anyone here? Anyone here you like? Jared Goff, your new quarterback, plus 5,000.
I don't think they're gonna have a heavy passing attack here, to be completely honest with you. They don't exactly have the receivers at this point. That being said, he'll have a fine year. If I was, if I was looking at these guys, I might consider a Matthew Stafford, but I'd probably wait until week two.
Okay, that's fine.
Just to see how he looks there, which Matthew Stafford is he?
Sure.
And then, something about Russell Wilson next year with those fans there and with everything else going on, I think it's really going to help him and help his game. So I didn't mind that one either.
I think he was close too. Let me pull up stats. He had a lot of outstanding games. He was the NFL. He was the NFL leading. He was the leading MVP candidate for a while. He threw for 4,200 yards last year. He finished. What is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He finished ninth. Deshaun Watson was number one at 4,800.
Okay.
So. Justin Herbert as a rookie was like sixth.
No.
It's going to be tough. That's a tough future to bet. If I'm value pick, I don't hate Joe Burrow. Plus 2,500, I like that a lot. Who do I think's actually going to lead the league in passing this year? Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I think he has an absolute shot at it. I think from the standpoint of value, I have to throw a few on Brady just because of those odds.
Plus 650 is not bad. Yeah, I mean, that means they think there's a realistic chance it'll hit. He was way down last year, though. I'm tripping. He was third. He was third.
And then based on where you shop, you can probably get that almost all the way up to plus 950.
Yeah, I'm at draft on DraftKings. You're on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the odds on DraftKings and FanDuel. BetUS, you can look on there as well. DraftKings has more stuff there. Most odds are very similar to them. That's why I use them to quote odds, but whatever. Let's look at most passing touchdowns. Last year, passing touchdowns was led by Aaron Rodgers with 48 touchdown passes. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, 350. Tom Brady, 500. Josh Allen, plus 750. Aaron Rodgers to repeat, plus 800. Russell Wilson, plus 900. Dak Prescott, plus 1,200. Matt Ryan, plus 1,600. Stafford, 1,800. Herbert, 1,800. Baker Mayfield, plus 2,000. I like literally all of those guys, which makes sense why the odds, those are the top 10, right?
Here's your dollar spread out right there, right? Here's my question to you with looking at that particular one. If you take a guy like Joe Burrow, how many garbage time touchdowns is he going to have versus how bad that team's probably going to be?
That's a great question. Here's another one. What is Dak Prescott going to do? Because Dak Prescott had 9 touchdowns. He was throwing a ton of yards in the games he played last year, right? Then he got injured, really bad injury. He only played 5 games, had 1,600 yards and 9 touchdowns. So his touchdown passes weren't going to be high. His yardage was going to be stupid high. He was on pace to be about 5,000 yards passing and probably about 30 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys aren't going to be bad offensively. You would have to think that he's going to convert more touchdowns. I mean, how do you not want to throw money on Dak Prescott as 1,200?
I don't, because I don't believe in certain things that are going on there, and I think that offense is eventually going to fully fall apart. That's just me. But that being said, I understand where you're going with this. Like, it makes sense. Right. Like, this is the guy who you're probably getting on a low value side based on him coming back and being fully healthy now and ready. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is there anyone in those top 10 or anybody even below that you like better?
I don't love any of them per se.
Deshaun Watson is not even in there.
Yeah, this is a category for me that I don't usually touch preseason only because I need to see a couple of games and what people are doing.
Sure.
Stafford's
and you can usually still get it.
But again, like I said with him on the other one, I'll wait.
Yeah. Yeah. The Stafford is interesting at 1,800. And he's thrown a shit ton of touchdowns in his career. Like, it's not like he's not capable of throwing an absolute crap ton of touchdowns.
Did Josh Allen get any weapons added to him offensively?
No, but Cole Beasley may not be there because he's an anti-vaxxer.
Yes. That's why I was asking.
He threw 37 touchdown passes.
Right.
His problem is that he runs so efficiently.
Yeah.
And those red zone touchdown passes he could get into a Cole Beasley are very likely going to his legs.
Yep.
Because I think he ran for probably 10 touchdowns probably last year. Let's see. He ran for... Can you just show me? 8 touchdowns. So he... Oh, no, I'm tripping. No, I'm right. 8 touchdowns. He threw for 37, ran for 8. How did he not get more MVP votes? That just doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, that's an interesting one. Rushing yards, Derrick Henry, King Derrick Henry, 350. Dalvin Cook, 550. Nick Chubb, 700. Jonathan Taylor, 900. Christian McCaffrey, 1,000. Saquon Barkley, plus 1,200. Ezekiel Elliott, plus 1,600. Antonio Gibson, 1,800. Joe Mixon, 2,200. Aaron Jones, 2,200. This is a tough bet, but I'll tell you who I'm not taking is Zeke.
Like, why do you say this, my friend?
Like, what is Zeke? Like, okay. So I click on Zeke. I go to his stats over here, according to NFL.com. Mm-hmm. He had a phenomenal year 2 years in a row. 3 out of 4 years, actually. His rookie year ran for 1,600 yards. Wow. 360 yards receiving. The next year, he ran for less than 1,000. He got injured. He only played 10. He was on remarkable pace. Caught 200. I mean, he was going to be an MVP candidate for sure in 2017. Then he ran for 1,400. Then he ran for 1,400. Last year, he was not great. Okay. He ran for 979 yards in the 15 games he played. He only had 6 touchdowns.
Yep.
Whenever Dak was healthy, the offense largely was throwing the ball in the air. Mike McCarthy's going to do that. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep doing that. He did have a lot of yards receiving, 338, had 2 touchdowns. But I just don't believe in Zeke. I guess his average yards per game hovered around 3 or 4 yards a carry, which isn't bad, but he got 14 attempts, 19 attempts, 12, 18, 10, 21, 18, 19, 12, 12, 19, 12, 14, 22, 22. You know, even after Dak went down, he wasn't touching the ball that much.
Right. All right.
I'm not putting money on him.
What are your thoughts when looking at those categories for somebody like Christian McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey, okay. So as a Baylor fan, I know Matt Rhule, right?
Okay.
This is not a bad thing. I'm not about to shit on Matt Rhule.
No.
Because we haven't, you know, he got us to top 10 again. And he got us the right to get our asses whipped by Georgia. Thank you. That was awful. Christian McCaffrey's awesome.
Okay.
He's a dual threat back. They are going to run the ball a lot. Matt Rhule loves to run the ball. He is an old school grind it out coach. That's what he is. He wants to run the ball. He wants to run the clock down. And it's not like they have a quarterback there. Teddy Bridgewater is still there, right? It's not like there's anybody there.
Right.
For you not to want to put the ball in his hand nonstop. I can't find Christian McCaffrey on NFL.com. What the fuck? I could see why you might want to bet him at plus 1,000. I don't think it's a bad bet. I kind of like Saquon Barkley at plus 1,200 more. I kind of like Antonio Gibson a whole lot more at plus 1800.
Really?
I mean, the Washington, he was great last year. Washington football game is going to pound the rock. McCaffrey's three games he played last year, he ran for 97 yards, 59, 69, 23, 18, 18. He had 10 receptions, 4 receptions, 3 receptions. It's just hard to tell what his role is going to be in that. And he, you know, even when he's healthy.
Do you think Julio Jones plays any factor into this?
Is he a Panther?
Yes.
Julio Jones isn't a Panther.
I'm sorry. No, he's a Titan. I apologize. I get these. Entire offseason, I think I messed this up twice now because I just can't picture him wearing a different uniform. I knew it's which one. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the one. Got it.
No, Christian McCaffrey, even when he's healthy, the most yards he's ran for is 1,400. That's not going to win you the rushing title.
No.
1,400 and 1,000. And the big thing is that he's a dual threat guy. He 1,400 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving, 1,100 yards rushing, 900 yards receiving. He just does too much on both sides of the ball to only win the rushing title. Will he be an MVP candidate? Yeah, probably. But he's not going to win the rushing title. Derrick Henry is going to win the rushing title, probably. He won it by 500 yards last year.
Yeah, I can't. I wouldn't bet against him.
No, I wouldn't even touch this. Plus 350. There's not enough money for me to put money on Derrick Henry. It's just not. Most rushing touchdowns is a hard one. Rushing touchdowns are hard. It's almost the same here. Derrick Henry, 450. Dalvin Cook, 450. Jonathan Taylor, 700. McCaffrey, 800. Nick Chubb, 800. Alvin Kamara at 1,400. Like that. Zeke, 1,500. Aaron Jones, 1,800. Saquon Barkley, 1,800. Antonio Gibson, 1,800. Alvin Kamara, I would take a stab at 1,400 if I'm betting the future.
Barkley scares me just because you don't know what you're going to get coming back from that injury.
You don't know what you're going to get from an injury. Right. You don't.
So
you definitely don't. Last year, Derrick Henry was number one in touchdowns at 17, but not by a lot. Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook both had 16 touchdowns. So this one doesn't seem as much of a lock to me. There is no Drew Brees to throw the ball, and it is now Famous Jameis. And you got to think that Famous Jameis is not throwing in the red zone because he turns it over a lot. So you've got to assume that Kamara might get to 20 touchdowns this year. I'm going to say, I think he's getting 20 touchdowns.
I mean, who? They're going to have other backs, obviously, with goal line situations. I'm just trying to figure out who would be taking away.
Mark Ingram's not there anymore.
Touchdowns. No.
No Mark Ingram anymore. No, it's Kamara. It's the Kamara show more than it already was. Wow. He's gonna get 20 touchdowns. He just is. He just is. He's getting 20 touchdowns. Is there anybody else that you like a little bit better?
I mean, not necessarily. I can't bet against Derrick Henry in these situations, just knowing fact of he just got stronger and stronger last year. And it was like, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I agree with that. Before we get into the rest of these guys, check out Sleafs.com. Use STSI, that's Shooting the Sports-ish, so STSI. 25 at checkout for 25% off your first order. Sleafs is affordable athletic wear with thousands of designs and is very, very cost-effective stuff, and it is incredible as well. We put out a tweet earlier at Shoot Sports-ish. You can see some of that athletic gear. 25% off is awesome. Use our code BUYU some athletic gear to get ready to do nothing but dad out with some beers and some barbecue and sitting on the couch or tailgating, since that will be something you can do this year. Most receiving yards last year was won by Stephon Diggs with an insane 1,535. DeAndre Hopkins at 1,400. Devontae Adams at 1,374. Darren Waller, the tight end, at 1,200. Travis Kelce, 1,400. Hold on. Let me get these in the right area here. Stephon Diggs had 127 receptions last year, by the way. What the fuck? Calvin Ridley was up there. Justin Jefferson, as a rookie, had 1,400 yards. This is a fun one to bet. Your odds favorites are Calvin Ridley, because Julio Jones is gone. makes sense. Justin Jefferson, second-year player at 850. Stephon Diggs, 850. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, 900. Davante Adams, 900. DeAndre Hopkins, 1,000. Metcalf, 1,200. Kelsey, 1,300. A.J. Brown, 1,500. D.J. Moore, 1,600. Darren Waller, plus 3,500. I'll tell you what. If I'm betting this category, I'm betting Darren Waller at plus 3,500. He had 1,200 yards receiving, 107 receptions last year as a tight end. And he's awesome. Why not? Why would he not? Is he going to do it? I don't know. But if I put $5 on there, I can win like $165. Not $160.
I'll come back to DK Metcalf a lot. And fair. It's not that he hasn't...
Not that he has what?
I like DK Metcalf. I think for most people, they rank him in that top five category as a wide receiver.
Sure.
And I think this year coming up, he's going to just elevate himself even further apart than a lot of people.
Sure. Sure.
So I like him.
I think that's fine. Most touchdown passes caught last year was won by a landslide. By three touchdowns. Davante Adams, 18. Tyreek Hill, 14. Adam Thielen, 14. 13, Mike Evans, 11. Robert Tonyan. Travis Kelce, 11. Odds favorites right now. You have Tyreek Hill at 750. Davante Adams, 750. Makes sense. 900, Calvin Ridley, 1,000 for Kelce. Thielen, 1,200. Mike Evans, 1,400. DK Metcalf, 1,400. Justin Jefferson, 1,400. Diggs, 1,600. And Hopkins, 1,600. I don't like anyone on here enough to bet it. Just to be honest, if I was going to bet someone, I might throw like a fiver on Tyler Lockett for 2,000. Okay. Just because he had a lot of touchdowns last year himself. But this is hard for me. There's not anyone that stands out to me as someone that I would put a future on.
You know, I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I agree with you. It's just the separation to me is not there for a lot of people.
Right.
That's why it's probably challenging to you as well.
Yeah, this one I don't really love touchdowns. Yardage, yes. Touchdowns is so scenario dependent. That's difficult. Like Julio Jones, tons of yards caught every year. Not a huge touchdown conversion guy. It's just so difficult.
Yeah.
It's just so difficult. Sack leaders last year was won by... Yeah.
Sorry. Before we move forward, I just kind of curiosity. What was Robert Woods?
Okay. For touchdowns?
Yeah.
Robert Woods, I like where your head's at there. 4,000.
Because when Matthew Cooper Stafford
Cup,
gets...
Cooper right. Cup, 4,000.
Yeah, when Matthew Stafford gets locked in on a player, they're the ones that get all the goal line grabs.
Here's another interesting one. Julio Jones, 3,500. Amari Cooper, 2,000.
Okay, yep.
Chase Claypool, 5,000. Odell Beckham Jr., if he can stay healthy, plus 5,000. Like that a lot, too. Damn, there are actually a lot of good ones. Glad you said that. Oh, Hawk, TJ Hawkinson, 6,500. He ain't hitting that. He ain't hitting that.
Let's look
at sacks. Nope. Let's move on to sacks. And we'll spend more time making our picks when we get closer to the season. This is kind of just a preview of everything, guys. TJ Watt had 15 sacks last year. Trey Hendrickson, 13.5. Aaron Donald, the defensive MVP, at 13.5. Ngakoue had 13 for the Ravens. Za'Darius Smith for the Packers at 12.5. Right now, 750 Aaron Donald. Miles Garrett, 750. Love that. 800 TJ Watt to repeat. Daniel Hunter, 1,200. Shaquille Barrett, 1,200. Za'Darius Smith, 1,200. Josh Allen for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1,400. Chandler Jones, 1,400. Joey Bosa, who got injured last year, 1,400. Brian Burns, 1,800. I like Miles Garrett to potentially win sack leader this year. At plus 750, so I like that bet.
If Chandler Jones gets traded, has there been speculation where he may go?
Not that I've seen anywhere. Somebody that's going to listen to this video is going to say I knew the whole time and that I was an idiot for not looking up the news. But I don't know right now. No.
No, that's fine. I think a situation there, if he changes his scheme a little bit and gets to change the scenery, it might be somebody to look at because the talent's there.
I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's a good little prediction that he'll potentially depending on where he goes. Sure. TJ Watt at 800 is not bad either. Shaquille Barrett at 1200 is not bad. Like, not bad. Shaquille Barrett at 1200 is nice. I actually like that bet too. There's some nice bets on this one. You know?
What? What is your thoughts on Kenny Golladay in New York?
For like what he's going to do, not enough to bet him as a future on either one. I think he'll be fine there. Receptions
or touchdowns. Yes.
No. I think no.
Like, would.
I think no, Tom.
I'm just so curious what he's going to do over there.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. Let's move on to awards, and then that's where we'll wrap up after we get through all these awards here. MVP, Patrick Mahomes, 500, who will always be the leader for until he retires. 1,000, Aaron Rodgers. Josh Allen, 1,200. Russell Wilson, 1,400. Dak Prescott, 1,400. Tom Brady, 1,400. Lamar Jackson, 1,600. Stafford, 1,600. Kyler Murray, 1,600. Justin Herbert, 1,800. I will be putting my money on Matthew Stafford at plus 1,600. I wrote an article about it on shootingsportsdish.com already. 1,600 for Matt Stafford. If he gets that offense to be clicking and the Rams are as good as they were last year, at least, if not better, and win some more games, I don't see how Matt Stafford doesn't win his first MVP.
It's bold. I don't think it's that bold. The only thing to me is for them to be going, he still needs some sort of a running game. I know he didn't have it in Detroit for years and years, but he does need it because of the years he had it. They were very, very competitive.
Sure. The thing is too, okay, so they won 10 games last year. Rams did. So, correct. Their offense at times has been good with Goff. Why would it not be much better, right? Mm-hmm. I like the Rams this year. I just do. I think the Rams are going to be very good. We thought they were not going to be good last year, and they took a step back, sure. But Jared Goff was terrible by all accounts to most people. He's still through for 4,000 yards.
I don't think he was ever terrible.
Oh, he was terrible at some points. He was terrible at some points, for sure. But the Rams scored... How many points a game did they score last year? Give me this damn number. I should probably look these things up before I start talking about them. That'd be helpful. Can you not tell me? They had 19 touchdowns rushing, 20 touchdowns passing. So that's 39 touchdowns times 7. So they scored a lot of points a game. Why is this not laid out nicely for me? Why is the Rams website not laying out how many points they scored a game? Jesus Christ.
Like, stats day one anyway, stuff all over this podcast today.
Day one-ish stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It is what it is. You got to live and learn. Let's see. I can surely find it. Scoring. Thank you. God damn. The Rams. Ugh, that doesn't give it to me either. What the fuck? What in the hell? It has them like down towards the bottom in scoring or something. Total touchdowns. They were in total touchdowns. Toward the bottom of the pack. Yeah, they were down. They were on the lower half last year. They scored 43 total touchdowns. That is not a lot. You know, if they can get closer to these offensive efficient teams, like the Packers scored 66, the Chiefs scored 57. If you can get them into the 55 range touchdowns, I just don't see how Matthew Stafford doesn't win MVP. Who's your pick?
After careful consideration of the Carolina Panthers quarterback situation, I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey because I think he's going to touch the ball about 50 times a game because I have no idea who's starting for them. It's Sam Darnold, Will Greer, and Philip Walker.
Will Greer from West Virginia, I think, is where he's from.
Correct.
You know, the thing is with the NFL, too, is they don't have to be a playoff team necessarily for him to win MVP either. I mean, it helps, but
yeah,
it's hard for a running back to win it, though. It's going to be hard for a running back, not Derrick Henry, to win it.
That's true, too.
Christian McCaffrey's $4,000 odds, though. So you're not like, it's not like Tom is picking him to win it. Like, oh, he's getting it. He's just like, 4,000. Why not throw $5 on that shit?
Right. Also, too, though, look at it this way. If you're a new quarterback, right, with a new system, and you're looking for a comfort blanket, he's going to be open for 5 and 6 yard dump passes all the time.
Right. Right. Well, you have some interesting things here on offensive rookie of the year. I like this one more than any of them. Trevor Lawrence is obviously the favorite at 300. Kyle Pitts, 750. 800 for Najee Harris. Trey Lance, 800. Justin Fields, 850. Jamar Chase, 1,000. Zach Wilson, 1,000. Mac Jones, 1,000. Devontae Smith, 1,800. Jalen Waddle, 1,800. I really like being an idiot. I actually kind of like Justin Fields' odds at 850. I know that hurts you as a Michigan fan for me to say that I kind of like picking the Buckeye, but he's not a Buckeye anymore.
I'm a basketball school, my friend.
Okay, cool. Well, I think Justin Fields has a real chance to win Rookie of the Year. Trevor Lawrence is probably Trevor Lawrence is probably going to win it. But at 850, I'd rather put my money on Justin Fields just for value.
In my opinion, there's so much less pressure on Justin Fields to win right now, as opposed to the pressure of bringing in that number one guy at the way Jacksonville's made it out to be, all the stars, studdedness of it, right?
Right.
I think it'll help him. I really do. I'm sure as hell isn't going to hurt him right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Defensive players of the year, Micah Parsons, 500. Jamin Davis, 750. Jalen Phillips, 1,000. Kwity Paye, 1,000. Jeremiah Owusu-Koroma, 1,400. Zaven Collins, 1,400. Patrick Surtain, 1,400. J.C. Horn, 1,400. Jason Owe, 1,600. Aziz Ojalari, 1,600. If I'm betting, I'm betting Patrick Surtain for 1,400 just because that's like the name I know, number one, I'll be honest here. And also, like, you know, Patrick Surtain's fucking good. he just is. He's playing for the Broncos too. And Broncos love them. They used to love them in defense. He plays corner. 6'2", 208-pound corner, runs a 4.4 40. He's going to have an immediate impact. He was a top 10 pick too. And he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. You don't win SEC Defensive Player of the Year if you're not real, real damn good.
All those defensive players on Washington's line, like, my goodness.
Yes, that's true. But also, you don't have, like, I mean, this is Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I'm just saying what players can develop into type things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going Patrick Surtain, 1,400. Is there anybody in here you like or know?
I don't hate Davis at plus 900.
Sure.
I don't typically bet defensive rookies and or defensive players per se. So.
Yeah. Let's look now, moving into offensive player of the year. Patrick Mahomes, 700. Derrick Henry, 700. Christian McCaffrey, 1,000. George Kittle, 1,200. Dalvin Cook, 1,400. Josh Allen, 1,500. Nick Chubb, 1,600. Alvin Kamara, 1,600. Lamar Jackson, 1,800. Travis Kelce, 1,800. This is what I think is going to happen. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have an amazing year. I think he will win Offensive Player of the Year, but his team won't be, I don't think they're at all going to be in the playoff hunt at all. And if they're not, it's going to be hard for people to want to give him MVP. So a plus 1,000 Christian McCaffrey, I think he does win Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. He'll have another 1,000 season. And then you have to give it to him at that point. That's where, I don't know if there's anyone you like better. Alvin Kamara plus 1,600 is another nice one.
I don't love it per se. I don't have any more favorites. I guess to me, I think this year is going to be one of those years where the dual threat running back is going to get a lot of these awards and pick up a lot of yardage.
Alvin Kamara, even as MVP, what is Alvin Kamara's MVP odds? He has plus 8,000 odds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably not winning MVP, but if the Saints, let's say the Saints are very, very good next year, it's going to be because of him. I mean, you take Alvin Kamara, 1,600 offensive player of the year, 8,000 MVP, you can have a hell of a nice NFL awards day whenever that comes around in February.
Sure could.
So which one do you like better, McCaffrey or Kamara?
Ooh, I'll definitely go CMC on this one. No disrespect to Kamara. I just think that Saints team will be better than that Panthers team, and it'll affect the way the game's played.
Fair. So yeah, you think McCaffrey will have to do more. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Makes sense that you would go with your guy there too, that you picked for MVP. Aaron Donald for Defensive Player of the Year, 500. Miles Garrett, 500. TJ Watt, 8,800. Chase Young, 850. Joey Bosa, 1,000. Khalil Mack, 1,600. Nick Bosa, 1,600. Devin White, 1,800. Jamal Adams, 2,000. Derwin James, 2,000. I am going with Chase Young to win Defensive Player of the Year this year at plus 850. That is I will bet, and that is who I like the most.
This pains me, even though I'm basketball school. But it's Chase Young here, man. I think just another monster season coming up.
Yeah, it's another monster season, and that line for the Washington football team is ridiculous, which means you cannot double-team him. He's going to eat everyone.
The only argument to be made is that line will take away stats from the other person per se. But
it never mattered when you had Clowney and Watt, though. When you had Clowney and Watt, it didn't matter for the Texans.
Yep. That's the thing. When you're getting twice as much production, it shouldn't matter.
Right. Xavien Howard, Sikkim, Baylor Bear there, arguably the best corner in the game. Plus 2,000 for defensive MVP. It's just hard for corners to win that award, even if they are deserving.
Yeah, very much. Very much so.
We'll touch on this last one.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have something to say? Go ahead.
No, you're good.
We'll touch on this last one, Comeback Player of the Year, a.k.a. the Dak Prescott Award, because, I mean, he's probably winning it. But Dak Prescott, plus 210. Joey Burrow, 700. Saquon Barkley, 700. McCaffrey, 800. Nick Bosa, 1,000. Carson Wentz, 1,000. George Kittle, 1,000. Jimmy Garoppolo, 1,200. Michael Thomas, 1,200. Odell Beckham Jr. I think Dak Prescott probably runs away with this, but if I'm betting, but betting wise, I actually really like Odell Beckham Jr. at 1,400.
I like Kittle a lot. However, I think it's much more challenging to win it as a tight end and where he is than some of the other positions.
Sure.
And then I like Burrow, obviously, but I think if I'm looking outside the box here, right, I think Kittle's fun because he was such a machine before he got hurt.
Sure. Yeah, no, I totally get that. But that's kind of our preview here. This is going to be the only episode that we're really like just hounding in on looking at these things. Next season, we'll talk some shit about the teams that are going on. We're going to talk about conference previews. It won't be as heavy betting oriented next week. We'll definitely be looking at some of these teams, and then we'll get ready for the NFL season. First game of the preseason kicks off here pretty soon, and we've got some time. So, we'll go around. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll get ready for it. This podcast will only be going on right before the season, all the way through the playoffs. And so during the offseason, it was just not enough to talk about. But football will be back on our screens next Thursday for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Fame game, baby.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the environment will be, I know we've seen it in other sports and whatnot, right? But it's something about an NFL game with it. Full stadium.
Will any of these stadiums, college or football, college or NFL, Will any of them match the energy from the very first playoff game at Madison Square Garden this year? I'm going to say no. Basketball bias for me, but I'm going to say no.
I think they can. Here's the thing. Because it was done so much months prior to the NFL actually running the game, to me it's like, whoa, that effect right there, you're the first one to really have that big moment.
Yeah.
It can be hard to top it.
It's going to be tough. Now, like, Lambeau Field, and I'm not talking about... Actually, I guess we have to talk about playoffs too. If the Packers make the playoffs, then and they have home field, then you have to assume that you know what? I'm wrong. I take back. The Chiefs Arena or Chiefs Stadium will, Arrowhead Stadium will 100% match. Yeah, it's 100% going to be the best environment.
I mean, how do you think it's going to look when Brady plays New England?
Oh, I'm so glad crowds are going to be back. Fuck that shit. God, please never have no crowds at games again. I saw, now I'm just blabbering. I saw that recently people were like, I'm not watching the Olympics because there's no fans. I didn't have a problem watching the NFL last year without fans. Did I miss the fans?
It was the easiest thing for me to watch because they just didn't cut out the crowd and didn't show them. Yep.
Yes. And they had enough fake crowd noise that you forgot it wasn't real crowd noise.
Yeah. It was fine for TV. I mean, granted it wasn't the same, but it was fine for what we were getting during that time.
Now, mind you, like for us, maybe it's different because we both watch wrestling and like God was wrestling terrible without fans.
Oh.
So like if you're a football person and you're like, man, it was really hard to watch the NFL and college football last year without fans. Motherfucker, put on SmackDown, WWE SmackDown. From like any month from the summer last year before fans were allowed, actually until 2 weeks ago, watch any of those. It is so unbearable. It's so bad.
No, there was listen though. There was an unbearable time and then there was the Thunderdome, which made it somewhat watchable and I'll deal with it. But that time before the Thunderdome, hoo-wee.
But that Thunderdome shit was like, okay, so like the way pro sports did it is like the bubble in the NBA did it the best. They just put a bunch of fucking screens with fans there, fake crowd noise. We knew everything was simulated. It was awesome.
Right.
It was just fine. And then basketball was better because nobody could be distracted by all that shit. And then you had NFL where like, whatever, right? Like it's just, if you're watching the NFL, you're not going to stop watching the NFL. And it's just Goliaths beating each other over the head and giving each other concussions, like whatever. But with like, right, like WWE just like took this like, Vegas skin and threw it on top of TV and try like, my God, it was so tough. Anyway, football will be awesome with fans. I'm excited about it. Before we go, one last thing. The NFL is going to make any team that has a COVID-related outbreak that causes a cancellation forfeit their games. Many of the players are upset, namely Cole Beasley and then DeAndre Hopkins. We're not going to go in,
and no one gets a game check
and no one gets a game. It is unpaid forfeit.
Yes.
How long does the NFL commit to this before they overturn it?
The first time it happens, if it happens,
I think it depends on the team. If it's like the Lions, the Texans, no one's going to give a damn.
Right.
If it's like the Bucks, if it's Tom Brady's team or the Bills, let's say Cole Beasley is Typhoid Mary. I don't think they're going to commit to this. I don't think that they will. College football is trying to emulate that too. And it's easier for college to do it, right? Because most of the colleges are mandating vaccinations.
Right.
The NFL isn't going to officially tell these millionaires that they have to get vaccinated. But they're millionaires. If they miss a game check, like what is the punishment here other than you're probably hurting your good teams and making the playoffs bad when people were already concerned about quality of play last season, which is why viewership's been down.
Yeah.
How long can they commit to this?
I'm not saying
it's right or wrong. I just want to know if you think they're going to commit to it.
My second question is what is actually going to cause a cancellation of the game? What qualifies for that?
How many times is a positive player going to be tested until he pops up negative so they don't have to cancel?
Or how many players have to be positive is my next question.
You have to have enough to field the team, right? So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you would have to have
like
so
20-something players?
Right. You'd have to have so many people.
On like a 52-man roster?
Yeah.
Are we even going to see a cancellation? I don't think we will. I think it'll be covered up enough.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I just don't see us missing any games, especially not any of the big games, right? Like, first week of the season, yeah. Cowboys or the Bucks. Let's say they get COVID during the preseason. First Thursday night game is Cowboys at the Bucks. I think that game's going to happen because what are those ratings going to look like on a Thursday night for kickoff of the NFL? Incredible, because the Cowboys are playing in that game. I hate the Cowboys, but they are an absolute ratings draw. And Tom Brady is a massive ratings draw.
I'll do you worse than that. They're going through the testing. Oh, hey, yeah, you're fine. Tomorrow, make sure you test twice. Okay, thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's how that game's going to go.
Yep. That week also, let's say just any games that could possibly be canceled. They're not going to care about the 12 or 3 o'clock games as much, I don't think. But like Baltimore at Vegas. They wouldn't be upset if they lose that game. Probably it is your Monday night football game. Your Sunday night is the Bears and the Rams. There's just so many matchups that it's like, there's all these huge TV markets. They don't want to lose ratings again next year.
Right.
They will find a way to make this not happen.
Yep.
One way or another, either they're going to ignore it.
Yep. To your exact point, they lost too much money. So even though you're not paying the game checks, you're losing the revenue, which you want anyway. So,
right. Well, before we get out of here, one more plug. We are also affiliated with Drizzly. You can get alcohol delivered to your couch and your door within 60 minutes of your order. Restock your fridge from your couch. You don't have to miss a single second of the game this season. So do that. Go to www.tinyurl.com/drizzly. That's D-R-I-Z-L-Y, S-T-S-I.com. You can go to, again, tinyurl.com/D-R-I-Z-L-Y-S-T-S-I. And get a little promo code there and get you some bonuses, some money off your first delivery order. Check that out. That would be awesome. We also are affiliated with booking.com. We'll get that code and everything set up later. And if you go to BetUS tonight, because you want to bet on these lines, use code STSI25. Get a $25 deposit or 25% deposit on your first deposit with BetUS when you sign up with a new account. Tom, is there anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to break it down. I mean, and look into like the different divisions and rosters and win loss and go that route. But it always is one of those things where it's hard to get to the draft. And once you get to the draft, everything seems to start happening again. And the next thing you know, it's kickoff. So yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get into we'll both be more energetic as we get into actual games. We want to make sure and get the rust dusted off here this week, but we'll be back every Monday. We'll probably do it. We'll be back every Sunday when the season's going on. These first few weeks, it'll be Sunday, Monday, play it by ear. But once we get into the season, we'll be live either after Sunday night football or after Monday night football, depending on Tom's work schedule. Since people can actually go to work now, what a difference a year makes. Holy fuck. Anyway, we'll be back then this week. What we have on deck for you guys on Wednesday, I will do some early, way too early fantasy football stuff, looking at daily fantasy football. And then Cam will be back with JB to talk about college football. They're going to go ahead and get ready. College football season is even closer. And I'll be honest with you, I'm excited about the NFL, but I'm significantly more excited about seeing full stadiums or mostly full stadiums again for college football. God, I'm excited about that. Cannot wait to see the big house full of a bunch of people watching the Michigan Wolverines lose.
Or basketball school, sir.
Sure. Okay. It doesn't mean you guys aren't going to lose. You guys host Michigan this year?
What's that?
You guys host Michigan this year, or is it in Michigan? Or you are Michigan. Do you host Ohio State this year, or are y'all going to Ohio State?
No, that's going to be unfortunately canceled for COVID.
Oh, I don't think so, brother. November 27th. Oh, yeah. You think they're going to cancel the Thanksgiving weekend big game? Okay. The game right before the Big Ten Championship, the week before. Why did they do that to y'all? It's in Michigan. Oh, no, it's in the Big House.
Yeah, it's every year that's the last game of the season for both teams.
Why did they do that to Michigan? Why do they hate y'all?
It's every year. It's the last game of the season. So that
hey, you know what you guys should do? Go to the SEC. Go to the SEC, like the Sooners and the Longhorns.
The MAC's looking tempting.
The MAC or the MEAC? Which one? Both. Which one do you want?
Both.
Guys, for Tom, I'm Tony. This is NFL Recap on Shooting the Sports Dish. We will be back every week. NFL season's almost back, boys and girls. We're ready. We'll see you later.